This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to our weekly Penguins podcast. I'm Andrew Destin, joined by Matt Wenzel. First time we're coming to you guys in April, and the last time we talked to you guys, well, Penguins playoffs hopes were basically non-existent. And
I thought you gave up on this team to go cover baseball. What are you doing here? I thought we would have a new host who cared about this hockey team and wasn't a quitter and a hater like you.
Quitter and hater. Wow, you're penciling me into quite the corner.
I mean, I'm just speaking for our 13 regular viewers who feel that way about you. But anyways, continue.
Wow, we're off to a banner of a start. Thank you for that, Matt. Penguins have gone 4-0-1 in April, and they're now very much within playoff contention. You've been on the road with the team for that road trip. Obviously, the Metro, a lot of those opponents there, New York, New Jersey, D.C. Why is this team now all of a sudden alive? And don't just say it's because the Eastern Conference sucks.
That's the main reason. That is the main reason. I mean, the last time we did this, it was last Monday. I was sitting in a New York hotel room. We were talking about how this team was just about kaput. And then that night they went out. A bunch of guys were sick and they beat the first place team. And, you know, the next night they turned around and beat the Devils. And next thing they know, they were 3 points out of a playoff spot. And here we are. I mean, you know, this team looked to be dead. I mean, I think we all thought that. The players, I think, all thought that they were done. But these other teams kept screwing up too. And, you know, they started to play better and then they started to win. And then they truly started to believe they could do this. So it's a great story. The story's not done yet. I know statistical models as of, you know, Wednesday night, Thursday morning, have them at 40% chance of making the playoffs. They do not control their quote unquote playoff destiny, a term I hate because you can't control your destiny or your fate, right? I don't know. You're a California hippie. Isn't that the case? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's a great story and there's a lot of little reasons and a big reason who wears a number 87 why they're in the mix. But I mean, sorry, the biggest reason is because everyone else screwed up. Everyone else faltered and it left open the door for them to play well for a couple weeks and potentially get in.
Right. And with playing well for a couple of weeks, obviously, that's come against, like you said, New York, pretty darn good opponent there. There's a lot of storylines we can get into, but you mentioned how good Crosby's been. Has this been a matter of him willing this team to this point, or is he finally getting contributions that are noteworthy? Obviously, other guys have scored, but is this all him and everybody's following suit, or is it kind of a little bit more balanced than maybe be led to believe?
Both. I mean, there's no doubt he's driving the bus, and Gino, too. He's been excellent, but really, like Sid had that game in Colorado that you were at against Nathan MacKinnon, and he went back into hockey god mode and hasn't really gone out of it. I mean, he's had a couple off games in there, but he's been tremendous. So, yeah, I think he has a lot to do with it. And it wasn't just one game, and it isn't just all his scoring. And, by the way, he's been scoring in bunches again, just got to 40 goals. But it's just the tone he sets. I mean, look, it even looked like Sid was sort of like, geez, like, are we really going to be – eliminated, we're really selling, like, and but now he believes and he's dragging everyone with him. And you know, it's you know, not just him. I mean, for much of the season we saw it was the top line that was carrying this team, and now they've truly become an ensemble. But you know, I think it all starts with Sid, as it has for two decades here in Pittsburgh.
What about Malkin's play? I mean, obviously now chipping in offensively, but what's been different about the way that he's playing, more so beyond just the results? Does it look like he's playing with a little more pep in his step? Like, what's been noticeably different about Malkin versus March, February beforehand?
Well, his parents showed up. I mean, look, I'm not making light of that. I mean, I do think that's an impact on Evgeny Malkin. You know, he's an emotional man. When he's confident, you can see it. And when he's not, you can really see it. And he didn't look like a very confident player. They took him off the top power play. And, you know, it wasn't exactly sulking, but, you know, he wasn't happy about it. But, you know, he said his parents haven't been over here since before the pandemic. There's also a war between Russia and Ukraine going on, which is a factor too that he didn't say, but that's presumably another reason why they haven't come over. But the fact that they're here now, you can tell he's feeding off the energy. I mean, it was that game, home game against Columbus 2 weeks ago, where he, you know, scored a couple of goals, and that's the first of three multi-goal games for him over this 9-game stretch. So he's playing better, and you know, just as important to his success is Michael Bunting. I actually just wrote a big profile, 2,000-word profile of Michael Bunting that you guys should read on postgazette.com. I mean, this guy's got an incredible story, overlooked twice in the OHL draft. Cal Dubas, like, admittedly lucked into discovering him as a prospect. And, you know, then he got drafted by Arizona, and it took him until he was 25 to become a regular NHLer. So just unconventional path. But the reason he was able to make it, the biggest reason, is because he's an absolute lunatic on the ice. And, you know, he's given this team a jolt. And, you know, in regards to Malkin, he has Malkin playing better. I mean, Bunting is skilled enough and skates okay enough to, you know, be a factor on the rush. But, you know, as Mike Sullivan says, he's been dragging Gino into the fight. And by that he means Gino's been down near the net. He's been cycling. He's below the dots. I mean, we've talked about it numerous times this season about how Malkin was a rush offense or only player, and he wasn't getting much rush offense, but they're getting a lot done through the cycle game. And, you know, look at that goal Bunting scored to avoid catastrophe against Tampa Bay. You know, Gino was right there next to Bunting at the net front. So yeah, it's a couple of different factors, I think, for Malkin. But look, this guy looked washed. He looked cooked. What do the kids say now? You're a kid. Is there some hip? What are you, Gen Z, millennial? I don't know any of that stuff. But anyways, yeah, he looked like he was done. But, you know, it's been vintage Gino here during the stretch.
The only third one I'll throw in is toast, that he looked toast.
Kids are saying that again? That's like, is that a comeback? Is that a vintage, like, Gino?
Yeah, that's like vintage Gino. Look at you go. Obviously not to make light of that. Certainly with the parents being here, it's been a big impact. But you mentioned Bunting. For one, very excited to read your piece on him. But two, just based off the observations, obviously the Jake Guentzel trade, most people interpret that as this is a rebuild move. This is a move to stockpile the farm system. Has Bunting exceeded expectations that you had placed upon him, just given what he demonstrated in Toronto, what he demonstrated in a brief sample this year in Carolina? Did you envision this to any regard, specifically the way he's helped reinvigorate Malkin's season?
Well, Kyle certainly wasn't buying when he traded a 40-goal scorer. But, I think Bunting's inclusion in the trade is part necessity for salary cap reasons and filling the depth chart. But it's also Kyle, you know, trying to, you know, do that dual path thing that is very difficult to do. Didn't work for the team this past year. We'll see where it goes in the future. But that was about his inclusion in the trade. And yeah, I think he has exceeded expectations. I mean, I thought he would come in and stir things up a little bit. Our columnist Joe Starkey had a poignant column right after the trade that talked about, hey, this is a guy who could come in and actually, you know, kick these guys' butts into gear a little bit. And that's happened. But what surprised me is the production, 13 points in 17 games, a couple of game winners. You know, he's also impressed me with his work in the bumper on the power play. So, yeah, I think he's exceeded expectations. I mean, I don't know if he's going to keep this going and you know, produce at a 60-plus point pace for his over the next two seasons. But in terms of the impact that he's made on the Penguins right now, I mean, I think there's only two players in the league who have put up more points since the trade deadline or around the trade deadline. One of them's Alex Nylander. Much to the chagrin of some Penguins fans. And the other one was Jake Guentzel, who's been outstanding. But right below those two is Bunting. So, yeah, I think definitely he's been a pleasant surprise. And, I liked his inclusion in the deal in the first place. He's just been even better than I thought he would be.
Yeah, agreed. No notes.
Now, the prospects they got.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I know you're all personal friends with them. Now that you've talked to them all about joining the Penguins, that was the issue I had with the deal. But time will tell on that. We don't have to rehash that.
Yeah, time will tell on those guys. A number of them, you know, probably a year or two away at least from seriously contending for NHL time. But we're going to keep these podcasts a little bit lighter as we wrap up the regular season, just given that we want to keep them a little bit more frequent. We still have one more segment to get to, but before we get to it, want to remind you that this podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella Windows and Doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give them a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. Again, that's 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. I did actually have one.
The real reason you want to keep this brief is you probably want to go ride your bicycle to like a poetry reading or a museum or something like that. Just be honest. You got a big night planned here.
Okay. My night planned is to read a book that I actually helped co-author. So that's like the most braggadocious.
Wow. What a brag.
Yeah, that's the biggest
brag. What's this book about?
The 2012 Penn State football season. Yeah.
I'm an alum. What happened that year? Not a very good one.
Oh, shit. That would have been the year after the scandal.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's why I wiped it from my memory. Okay.
Yeah. Understandable.
So wait, you're reading a book you wrote, or is this like for editing purposes? Is this like a manuscript, or are you just like that vain?
Manuscript. Well, okay. Yes, I am also that vain, but right. I was a senior in college. I'm going way off the deep end. It was a guy reached out to me asking for research help, and I helped set up interviews and whatnot for it. So the book's coming out in August. I'm sure I'll, you know, unceremoniously pride myself on that and promo it on social media.
You're just going to casually wear a white button up while you read this book you wrote?
Yeah, that's probably about right.
Okay.
Maybe drink some hot chocolate.
I feel like I'm going to take the family to Olive Garden in 20 minutes and see you there at your shift. But anyways, let's talk more hockey.
Damn. All right. I've actually never been to an Olive Garden. Okay. Next segment was, shocker, want to talk about goaltending. Alex Nedeljkovic, it's been his net. He's gotten 9 straight starts. The last time we saw Tristan Jarry was just in a quick cameo in Denver. This is probably as obvious a question as I'll ask all year, but is there any way that Ned doesn't start these final 4 games of the season?
Sure. I mean, I fully expect him to play against Detroit. You know, 9 games in a row is a lot. I mean, there was only one set of back-to-backs in there, and that was out of necessity with Tristan Jarry being sick. So the schedule hasn't been too unfavorable. I mean, I do think it helps that the Penguins had 2 days between these games here because – I did wonder if Ned might be starting to lose a little steam there, but still that's a lot of a workload. Not something that he's really faced in a while, I believe. So we'll see. And it's not like he's like, I mean, this guy's battling. I mean, he is working his butt off, flopping, making not in a bad way, like sprawling. He just like, it's a high energy style of play is what I'm trying to say. So I do wonder about his workload, but he's got to play against Detroit, his former team. What a story that'll be. But if he falters, you wonder what Mike Sullivan's going to do. Like if he senses that Ned is running out of gas or has run out of gas. You know, Tristan Jarry hasn't started a game since March 22nd, I believe. 24, somewhere in there. So that's a long layoff to throw a guy back into what will essentially be a must-win game. So a lot of factors at play here. But if Ned, you know, can physically handle the workload and he continues to play like he has, we won't see Jari for the rest of the year, or the regular season at least. But I think that's, you know, a couple of decent-sized ifs.
Okay. And you kind of brought up there how the schedule for those nine starts, it hasn't been, you know, terribly difficult of a workload, but you kind of wrote about this a little bit. I'm curious, have there been any tangible signs that you point to of Nedeljkovic wearing down? Can you tell that physically, yes, he's battling, but can you see it at all in his play that this is a guy who's physically laboring at all between the pipes?
No, not laboring. Like, not like he just, like, I don't know, his leg's going to fall off or anything like that. It's more so just his performance. I mean, look, this is, you know, this is an outlier a couple of weeks from him based on the entire sample size of his career. And the last two games, he wasn't bad, but he saved, you know, his goal saved above expected. He was below what he should have saved by a little bit. You know, he was hard on himself for a couple of the goals, particularly the Matthews go-ahead goal in the third period. Now, he was screened a little bit on that one, but, you know, he just said, look, I got to have that one. But he's the kind of guy who's always going to be hard on himself. I think that's one of the many reasons that he's so respected by the players and the coaches. So, you know, I don't think like alarm bells are going off with him, but you do see little signs of slippage. And you just wonder, okay, like, is this guy going to run out of gas, or will this couple days off kind of rejuvenate him and he'll just keep on doing what he's been doing?
For sure. Last thing I want to get into here before we wrap this up, ending the goalie conversation, now just shifting it to the greater picture. I'll frame this as bluntly as I can. There's four games remaining. Matt, will the Penguins make the playoffs? Why or why not?
Why do you got to put me – like, there's other variables here. I mean,
there's other variables, so include –
because the Penguins could go 4-0 and they might not get in. So it's out of their hands at this point. You know, the Capitals, they won on Tuesday. That put them in the lead. Now, we're taping this on Wednesday evening, so maybe there's scenarios Wednesday night that I'm not aware of that this will look stupid on Thursday morning. But either way, they're going to need to get a little bit of help to get in, I believe. Can they go 3-1? Can they go 4-0? I think at minimum they have to go 3-1. They got to have this game against Detroit. You don't want to let them pull back ahead of them. But yeah, I mean, I think they are capable of doing it, or at least capable of doing their part in it, and at least winning three of the next four. I mean, I think the thing that, you know, I wrote a piece yesterday or Tuesday about, you know, causes for concern. You know, the biggest one for me is just like the suspicion that we're going to see another one of these late meltdowns and it's going to cost them a playoff spot. I mean, it's been one of the stories of the season. They almost blew it against Tampa Bay on Saturday, and then Bunting got that goal and they were able to get a big win. But, you know, they've lost, what, five games now, or there's been five or six games where they blew a multi-goal lead in the third period. You know, you just wonder if that is going to come back to bite them one last time and knock them out of the playoffs. But, this team is playing well. They're locked in. It's not just one player, as we've noted on this podcast. There's a lot to feel good about when it comes to the Penguins. But there's also 65, 70 games of a larger sample size that showed us that this team was something different than we're seeing now. So you can't help, but you can't just shove that aside, I should say. You know, but it's fascinating. It's a great story to see a team just completely flip the switch like this. And it's going to be fun to see how it plays out. You probably won't see it because you're going to go back to Pirates land. Speaking of blown leads late.
Right? Oh, that was good.
I haven't watched the second of Pirate Baseball, but I read the Post Gazette.
That was a chef's kiss of a transition. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm a big fan. I was going to say I'm going to take a big fan of the other Pirates reporters. But I've already taken enough shots at you tonight, so I'll let you be. I don't want to kill your moods for when you go out and read your own book.
I got nothing. No notes, man.
Truly, I mean, there's a lot to make fun of me. You're just too polite for it. But anyways.
Well, I mean, I am wearing a white collared shirt, so would you expect anything less? But
can I get some more breadsticks, please, before we do stick taps?
I mean, yeah, they are endless. All right, whatever. I'm just going to go ahead and go into stick taps. My only other note that I'll add there is that I look at the schedule and think that I think it's going to be really tough to see them go 3-1 or 4-0. I mean, just the nature of Nashville and Boston. Yes, those games are both.
But are they going to have anything to play for? That's what I don't know with those two teams. Could they be throttling down a little bit if they can't move up or down in the standings?
I mean, with Boston,
but they're still good teams.
Yeah, with Boston, certainly it feels like. But Nashville, I mean, just how well that team has played really the last month and change. It's like even if they're not trying, you know, theoretically, or at least, you know, mailing in a little bit, Nashville really, to me, feels like the team the Penguins do struggle with and don't match up well with against. But remains to be seen. Certainly going to monitor that down the stretch. Stick Taps, who do you have?
I didn't read your show sheet to see who you pick, so you go first. I don't take it.
Oh, wow. Oh, I didn't include it in the show sheet.
Okay, Erik Karlsson.
Good
work. That's all I could think of. Look, Carlson's closing in on career game 1,000. That's not why he's getting the stick tap, although good for him. I just think he's been better. He's really elevated his game, I think, over the last 2-3 weeks. It's funny because it won't show up in the box score. He did have a 3-point game the other night. Maybe that was Washington, one of these games in there. But otherwise, you know, he had a lot of zeros in these games, but that doesn't mean he's not making an impact. He's cut down on the gaffes. I think he's defending better. You actually see him using his skating to eliminate what could be dangerous plays. So he's really settled in. And, you know, one thing that's really stood out is his ability to get shots through. I mean, we've seen it all year, the way he kind of pivots and shuffles and shimmies on the blue line. But he's really kind of making it happen now. I mean, look, we talked about that Bunting goal against Tampa. It was Karlsson who made a great play to get it through to the Nets. So I think he's been playing better. You know, fun little debate we're having at the Post-Gazette about the most important players for the Penguins this year. I kind of didn't know what to do about Letang and Karlsson. But I'll tell you what, the way Karlsson's played recently definitely has me considering flip-flopping him with Letang, who was awesome for the first, you know, 4 months of the season.
Yeah, I know that's a point of contention between yourself and I, is just how to figure out what to do with those two guys. I'm going to stick with Evgeny Malkin for stick taps, excuse me. Just like you said, all the points aforementioned this month with his parents being here, we've just seen that play elevate. And it's not even so much just recently, it's just in the general scope of what does that mean for moving forward to next year? What does it mean in terms of surrounding him with various line mates like a Michael Bunting who can bring out a higher level of play from him? But more so, it's just he's played better recently. It's helped the Penguins. They wouldn't be in this position without him. I know it's easy to point to Alex Nedeljkovic and say, this guy's taking the net. And obviously that's important, but this team doesn't run with just Crosby. That's not enough. And it's close, but it certainly helps to have Malkin contributing like that. So any final notes, any final insults for me?
No, go read your book.
Okay, gladly. Thanks, bud. We'll check in with you guys again soon. We're going to try to do a few more of these before the season wraps up just because a lot going on around here, but we will catch you guys all soon.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post-Gazette Sports. If you watch this video on YouTube, please like the video and subscribe to our channel. For all of the sports coverage the Post-Gazette has to offer, visit post-gazette.com.